Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bowls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bowls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bowls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbowls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. So, Cody, Garf Foreman and John Paxson talked to us for about 40 minutes this morning, and I'm still not really sure what they said.
I think they just pressed the big red button next to them, hypothetically speaking, that says, run it back. Run it all back. Because it is, there's a really good chance that Rajon Rondo returns to the Bulls, in John Paxson's words. Uh-huh. Obviously, he has a $13.4 million, basically, team option on his contract for 17-18. It'd be a $3 million buyout for the Bulls if they didn't want him, but they really want him because of his leadership with the young guys during the season, which we can get to. But they also realized that signs seemed to point toward Dwayne Wade coming back and utilizing his player option for next season. And then what else they do? They praise Nico Mirotic's shooting, even though he's inconsistent, saying that's something they highly value.
And then it's also the fault that the reason he was inconsistent this year was because he was on the Spanish national team this summer for the Olympics.
Which made no sense.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Whatsoever at all. There was a lot that didn't make sense in this. But then they, too, I guess the last big thing that we need to point out, obviously they confirmed Fred Hoiberg's coming back, which we all already knew. But Jimmy Butler, basically it's like, hey, yeah, you want to make us trade offers, you can, because you guys there in the media, you guys asked us 7 questions, and we didn't commit to building around Jimmy Butler. That's the frame of mind that the Bulls management seemed to have. So options on the table for Jimmy Butler, they want a really high price, and at the same time, on the flip side, the Bulls are saying, you got to be careful about rebuilds, because they can take 6 to 10 years before you get back to the playoffs.
Well, this is pretty much the same tack that they've taken with Jimmy Butler over the last year plus. You remember after the Derrick Rose trade, after the draft when they almost traded into the Celtics, and then after they signed Rondo and Wade, and then at the trade deadline, so many different times they've been given the chance to say Jimmy Butler is our guy and we're building around him, and every single time they've found a way to kind of dance around that and not commit one way or the other in the future. I mean, I would kind of read the stuff about Jimmy today the same way I've read it kind of the whole time. I don't think they're actively looking to trade Jimmy Butler, because they're not just going to say, oh, well, we just want to blow it up, so we're going to trade him and then, you know, get something mediocre back. But if they get an offer, like, you know, involving, you know, those Brooklyn picks from Boston or some other high pick, or, you know, some really good package that actually makes it worth their while, I certainly don't think they're opposed to it.
Yeah, I mean, John Paxson was asked directly, what are you going to do if and basically when Jimmy Butler seeks a long-term commitment, and then how much are you going to consider trading him? And he praised Jimmy, say he's their best player, he's an all-NBA type. And then he said, we have to keep things open, was exactly what John Paxson said. And they said they respect Jimmy's opinion, but at no point, again, at no point did they say, like, these are the types of players that fit around Jimmy Butler that we need to add. You know, this type of guy on the floor to relieve his burden. At no point did they say, we're moving forward with Jimmy Butler as the franchise centerpiece and face of this organization. Did not say that. And they were given, I mean, 4 or 5 chances over the course of the 40-41 minute post-mortem to do just that. So, again, you mentioned the Celtics' high offer is what they could conceivably get. But I wonder, too, what's his trade value conceivably out there in the last year? Because a year ago, you had 3 guaranteed years of Jimmy Butler. Now teams are only looking at 2 guaranteed years of Jimmy Butler. And they're looking at 2 really good prime years of him, but then that impending 5-year extension worth over $200 million conceivably when he's turning 30. Like, the dynamics here are different, Sean.
It's not. His value is certainly, you know, we've been saying this for a while. We said it last summer, but then we said it at the deadline. His value is never going to be higher than it is right now. And I think that's probably true right now. I would still expect them not to trade him because I don't expect that they're going to get the kind of offer that would actually compel them to trade him. And, you know, frankly, he's kind of indicated that he wants to be back in Chicago. This isn't like Paul George where he's pretty clearly saying, I want to get out of Indiana. Like, as long as he wants to be here and they don't get an offer that blows them away, I think that they're going to hang on to him. But they've certainly not come to the level of saying, you know, this is our guy, this is who we want to build around long term. And if you're Jimmy Butler, you have to be looking at that and thinking, okay, well, what does this say?
Yeah, and I saw a quote that really stuck out to me. I mean, this was one sentence among the transcript here for us is 5,288 words, I think, and this is about 8 or 9 of those words. But John Paxson said, quote, Jimmy's a different player than some of these other guys. And he got done saying that right after he was talking about, that line came right after he was referencing the push and pace of Fred Hoiberg's offensive system. What he wants to do, getting out in transition, I think also in a half-court setting, just the idea of how they want to attack a defense, often with side-to-side action that's quick and such. And he said Jimmy's a different player. And if this was a scrum with four people, immediately we would have followed up with the what's that mean question, which we were joking about the other day. Best question in journalism is someone says something important, and then you just say, what's that mean? So they have to keep talking about the same thing. This is obviously a different press conference setting. I had to get the mic, and a lot of people had a lot of other questions, and there were things in here. But I thought that was reflective of that's acknowledging that Jimmy is not a good fit for Fred's system. Like, that's as close as you'll get to a team having a superstar under contract control, someone they like, someone who still wants to be there, and them saying he's not exactly a fit for all the other pieces we have. Like, usually the frame of mind is, we have to fit to our superstar. We have to have a coach that can do that. We have to have players that support him. No, this was John Paxson saying, well, Jimmy Butler's not exactly a good fit for this coach that we confirm we're bringing back for a third year, but we're going to spend half the rest of the press conference pointing out how he did no favors for our young guys because he didn't establish a solid rotation for him. And we've seen growth in him, but we can't actually cite one factor of growth we've seen on the record when you actually ask that question and think about it. Like, there's so many. I could go on forever.
This is my favorite part of the whole thing was, you know, several different times people ask, what is it about Fred Hoiberg? Because, like, I mean, Paxson's opening remarks said, Fred is our coach, he will be back. So, like, kind of put that to rest. Like, he's going to start training camp as the Bulls' next coach. But they took so many different opportunities to say, you know, oh, well, Bobby Portis or Denzel Valentine or Cameron Payne or whoever, like some of these young guys, they didn't develop because they didn't have consistent roles. So that's kind of pointing at Hoiberg. And then they also, you know, literally our buddy Nick Friedel, friend of the show, asks them, like, what specifically can you point to about Fred Hoiberg that makes you think he's the right guy for this roster? And they said, well, you know, we're not going into specifics, but, you know, we've seen growth. He's a young coach. He's still, like, it just kind of danced around that question, which, like, you know, for like, normally if you just remove the phrase, Fred is our coach, he's gonna be here, then it would point to, okay, the stuff they're saying about him, he's going to get fired in 2 weeks, but that's not going to happen because they basically pointed out, like, we have a commitment to him, which means they're not going to fire him and then not pay him that 5-year contract.
It wasn't this cut and dry to get back to the point about Fred's rotation roulette. Wasn't this cut and dry regarding Cameron Payne, but Pax Foreman did have the audacity to point out that Payne didn't even have, like, a normal role. You know what I mean? Like, they acquired a guy who was really bad at basketball, and then in part to brush off their poor acquisition, just said that their coach didn't give him a clear, solid role, which I thought was like, what? That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I thought the commitment thing to Fred that Friedel asked about, I mean, his question was, what makes you believe Fred's the right long-term fit, like you said that. And Pax's first answer to him, first response was, quote, we made a commitment to Fred. Like, that's not citing the attributes. And he went around to talk about the fact that they're committed to him long-term, the team rallied around him, at times. And then he talked about Fred has challenges this offseason. But he didn't cite any factors like, I saw better game management. I saw him grow in the locker room. I saw guys respect him more. I saw his rotations improve, you know, in the last 3 weeks of the regular season when he put Rondo back in there. So, again, how awkward is this? You know what I mean? Just awkward in the sense of you have a coach and you're keeping him around, but you can't even, like, praise him publicly about anything. It's just a weird fit.
Yeah, I mean, I have to wonder what Fred is thinking. He's probably sitting at home in Ames, Iowa right now watching this on, like, the Bulls.com stream or whatever. I have to wonder what he's thinking about this because, again, I mean, they basically just said, like, we signed into a five-year contract. That's basically the only thing that they said in terms of, like, why he's going to stick around long-term. And, like, you know, to your point, when they were asked for a specific thing that he does well or that makes him think that they could have, even if it's something that you don't believe or if it's something that isn't true, you know, say something like, oh, well, you know, we think his play calling is good. We think his, you know, his substitutions are, you know, we think this is good. We think this is good. Even if you don't actually believe it and you're just kind of paying this lip service, have something there that you can point to as a specific example so that it doesn't look this obvious that you're basically just throwing the guy under the bus and that he's only still here because he has his contract.
Yeah, you knew the question was definitely coming there. Now, you can't buy tickets to Bulls season-ending press conferences as much as you would like, but hey, if you want tickets to baseball games, football games come the fall, basketball games, plenty of concerts this summer, of course, you should check out SeatGeek because it's the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for all the games and concerts you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or arena for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have a SeatGeek app on my phone. It's the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few clicks. Instantly find seats that you want for this weekend's game or any of them in the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because it price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Does all the work for you. You don't have to do it. Prices vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price. You get the most bang for your buck because every ticket is given a grade score based on value. Immediately see underpriced seats and the best deals to fit your budget. 100% back guarantee, so shop with confidence on SeatGeek, what we need Locked On Bulls listeners to do. Download the SeatGeek app, click add a promo code. Use promo code LOBULLS and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. That's promo code LOBULLS. It's really easy, so check out SeatGeek. Sean, other big storyline, one of many. Your question and Pax responded right away to the Rajon Rondo situation. Really good chance the Bulls pick him up. Just general thoughts on that. Would you read into it and their reasoning being Rondo was such a great influence for the younger guys?
Well, we've kind of seen that coming for a while. Now, remember, you know, at the beginning of January when he was benched, we were thinking, okay, is he just going to get bought out at some point? But then, you know, the last month of the season, he gets put back into the starting lineup. They play really well throughout the season. And again, at exit interviews when, you know, all the young guys were asked about him, you know, they all talked about how great of an influence he was. And Pax even pointed to this thing today about, you know, that Instagram post and that whole situation from January where when Rondo stood up for the young guys, that kind of empowered them and gave them confidence.
Empowered was the big word he used.
Yeah, and, you know, then the other thing is, you know, you look at what happened in the playoffs. Rondo was great for the first two games. They took a 2-0 lead over the Celtics. He goes down with a thumb injury. They just completely fall apart because none of their other point guards can play. And Pax even said that, you know, their other point guards basically aren't good. So, like, I would be surprised at this point if Rondo isn't back unless he goes to them in whenever they do have his exit meeting. Because if you remember from the other day, he didn't have his exit meeting on Saturday like everybody else because he had a family situation. But they're going to meet with him at some point, and he did. You know, if he comes and says like, I don't want to be here. I absolutely don't want to be here. Please cut me, and just puts in no uncertain terms, something like that, which I don't think is going to happen because I think Rondo understands kind of where his career is at this point. I would be surprised if he's not back.
Yeah, I don't see a better situation out there that Rondo would seek out, probably, because a couple things here. Like, this is amazing, Sean, that January incident and that Instagram post is going to help Rondo come back to Chicago. It is beyond my wildest belief and imagination, looking back, was it January 24th or 5th, one of those days, that when he put that out there on social media, that would be a primary factor. I mean, not a factor. It's one of the primary factors up there that he comes back to Chicago. You cannot make up Chicago Bulls storylines, and I want to let everyone know. Like, this might be the stuff I get most excited about. It's just the absolute absurdity of some of the Bulls storylines.
I cannot believe that. It's like between this and the two separate Derrick Rose jersey number controversies for like the wildest things of the season.
This gets me, though. I like this one because it actually has more meaning than what superficial jersey number you're going to wear, and I'm going to probably make all the Derrick Rose supporters really mad with that, that a number's more than something superficial, which I do get that point of view, but let's be real. Things that matter basketball-wise in this organization now, like, that is just shocking to me to look back on. And never in a million years would have guessed it. I think I tweeted at the moment in time, like, oh, this looks like it'll accelerate Rondo's exit from Chicago. And then it all comes together for him. And look, he's already rode out the worst of any storm he can have in Chicago, right? Like, going head-to-head with Jimmy and Dwayne Wade. So...
and getting benched.
And getting benched and not seeing eye to eye with his coach. And through it all, he's kept a positive demeanor and arguably was praised more than any individual in the season-ending press conference by management after Fred Hoiberg's final press conference of the season probably praised Rondo more than anyone else. I mean, Fred praised Jimmy a ton too, but he was pointing out that Rondo made the Bulls play a fun style of basketball again. So here we are, through all of that. I don't see a path where he goes, oh, after all that, and after making, like, legit friends, being a great mentor to these young guys, and going somewhere else, something more unstable for less money, I don't see that when he's already gone through the hard part. You know what I mean? And I'm just shaking my head here.
It's so good. Now, the other really interesting thing that came out of this was the stuff about Nico, where... they were basically talking about how, you know, Nico said in his exit meeting that he wants to be back. They told him they want him to be back. Gar said that they still view him as a 6'10" guy who can shoot. And, I mean, my single favorite excuse that they've come up with is what John Paxson brought just, like, out of nowhere about the...
completely out of left
field. This was totally out of left field. This wasn't, like, nobody led into this. He was, you know, we were talking about, you know, they wanted to be more consistent, all, you know, all the stuff you'd expect them to say. They want him back, hopefully they can get a deal done, you know, all the kind of stuff you would think they would say. And then John Paxson just jumps in and says, you know, one thing with Nico is that he wasn't with our trainers the whole summer because he played for the national team in Spain at the Olympics in Brazil. And, you know, I was like, okay, and, you know, maybe that's why he was inconsistent. It's like, okay, well, first of all, he's been inconsistent all three seasons he's been in Chicago.
Correct.
It's not suddenly, you know, he was great the first 2 years and then all of a sudden he was bad this year because he played for the national team. You could tie that into it. Second of all, Jimmy Butler played for the national team this summer, won a gold medal.
He did pretty well.
He had an okay season. He had his best season. Derrick Rose played in the FIBA championships in 2010 for the U.S. national team, and then he had his MVP season the year after that. So why is it suddenly that the Spanish, like Nico playing for the Spanish national team is why he had pretty much the same year he's had the first 2 years of his career?
There's a long list of players that have taken huge leaps after spending a summer with USA Basketball.
Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala.
This is more than a couple data points, you know what I mean? These are headliners, and everyone praises it, and a lot of good coaches and executives swear by it. So that was really, really weird, no doubt.
I think they were just reaching for any excuse besides, like, this roster isn't very good, and we didn't do a good job of building it.
Yeah, I wish they would have said that. They didn't.
No. They went close to saying, they said stuff that on the surface, during his opening statement, John Paxson said, like, we saw what a lot of people saw, that this roster is inconsistent, or that this team is inconsistent, and they didn't have an identity. And so they came closer. If you look at it on the surface, you'll say, oh, well, look at that. They're taking responsibility for how this went. And then, you know, if you, every single thing they say, they're like, well, no, this didn't go well, this didn't go well. Oh, but this was Fred's fault. This was, you know, these young guys not being consistent. This was, you know, Nico was bad because he played in the Olympics. Like, every single thing that they said, oh, this was bad, this was bad, this was bad, it was always somebody else's fault besides theirs. They never said, we did a bad job of putting, you know, players that fit Hoiberg's system or... you know, giving everybody the resources that they need. Like, they never actually came out and said, we need to do a better job. Everybody is at fault here except for them in their minds.
Yeah, the closest they got to any of that was admitting that they didn't give Fred shooting. And I think, I'm trying to look through the transcript here. for everything. I think there might have been another section further down in the interview. But they did admit that the roster wasn't built well for Fred. But in doing that, all of it seemed to be in the same breath, in the same vein as, well, Fred could have done better in this too, after we gave him this roster. And they did make the small point, Gar made it, I believe, that later in the season when Fred did go back to Rondo and have a little bit more certainty in the rotation and get Denzel more playing time, that the Bulls looked more like a Hoiberg team, and that's a fair point from Gar to point out. So maybe if he'd done that sooner, it would have looked like more of a Hoiberg team for stretches. But I mean, John Paxson stressed multiple times they need more shooting. So, again, we talked on our mailbag podcast the day prior to this that, like, J.J. Redick's out there. And then we went through a long list of, what, sad names, I think. Like, Kyle Korver's out there, unrestricted free agent, too.
Deion Waiters.
But a lot of these guys, the guys you might look at, I mean, an Otto Porter and a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that's max level near money in restricted free agency. There's, like, nothing there for the Bulls. And then we went down, what, further in the list, and it's just absolute bad basketball players, basically.
So speaking of the, you know, having to sign guys to max contracts who are, like, real impact guys, I want to talk about another contradiction, which is that at every single turn, Gar Forman talks about at this press conference about how they have this, they're preserving their long-term flexibility. They have all this flexibility going forward. You know, they didn't sign any dumb contracts. You know, they have the ability to take advantage of opportunities, and that's why they're not, you know, making any huge changes, because they want to preserve their flexibility. And then John Paxson, when he's asked why they aren't making any huge moves, he's like, "Well, because we don't really have a lot of flexibility. We have guys who are under contract. You know, we need to develop these." Like, they're basically the exact opposite of each other in terms of their different excuses for why they aren't really making any big moves.
Yeah, I mean, I get they don't have flexibility this summer unless they're willing to trade Jimmy Butler.
Or unless Wade opts out.
Or Wade, surprisingly, opts out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why I think we didn't get, like, I mean, yes or no on the Rondo move. Do you think it's a good move for Bulls to bring him back, or should they have bought him out?
I think it's a good move for them to bring him back, just because, again, I think that, you know, the stuff about the positive influence he had on the young players, that stuff wasn't lip service. That stuff is real. I've talked, you know, all the guys talked about it in their exit interviews. I've talked to different players throughout the course of the season, just off the record. Like, they all absolutely swear by him, and I think he is a good influence to have around the locker room. And he's, you know, he's not making very much money for your starting point guard in this league, you know, with some of these salaries that are being thrown out there. For your starting point guard to be making $13.4 million, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, except I don't. The problem with this is that they're viewing it as, I think, trade Jimmy for a complete rebuild or just run the same team back for an entire season. I don't think it's quite that cut and dried. And I don't think they're willing, obviously, to add a shooter or whatnot in free agency, or maybe a more minor trade. I have no idea who would want the Bulls players that aren't Jimmy Butler, though, at this point. Unless, I mean, Robin Lopez is a good trade chip, but they've also liked what he did. So stuff like that. It's a decent free agent point guard class between Drew Holiday, Jeff Teague, George Hale. Now,
You're going to have to pay those guys a lot of money.
I don't think Jeff Teague really would fit for them. But Drew Holiday is a guy who's, what, 26? Is it not worth parting ways with Rajon Rondo to make a run at him?
You're going to be having to give Drew Holiday $20 million a year, though. He's not going to be cheap.
Well,
the Pelicans are going to be highly motivated to re-sign
him. Etuan Moore is a $9 million player now. No one's cheap.
Right, but would you rather have Drew Holiday at $20 million a year for 4 years with his injury history, or just keep Rondo for another year where you kind of know what you're going to get? You know that the young guys like him. I would lean towards keeping Rondo.
Yeah, they just, by going in on that Rondo contract, I mean, that's a difference of $10, $11 million. And that's the difference between adding a mid-level free agent, you know what I mean, with, like, what, 10 or $13 million of cap space, and having, like, nearly $20 million or more to offer someone who might be a difference maker if you want to build around Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? George Hill's a guy that Utah's probably going to do everything.
Utah's going to max him out, probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I'm just saying that there are some guys out there. I mean, there's a really good draft class of point guards, too. So, like, you look, six teams could have their point guards of the future come, what, the night of June 23rd being over, when they wake up on June 24th, and all of a sudden, those few free agents in point guard guys, like all of a sudden you don't need them quite as much. Some of the teams out of the race for that. The Bulls obviously won't have that opportunity. Those six good point guards are supposed to go in the top 12 probably, I think.
And they have the 16th pick. Bulls
are just outside the lottery. So I don't know. It's really difficult. And again, they're not picking a lane. They never pick a lane. And I understand. I guess here's my thing. The lane they've picked is summer 2018 right now being a difference maker. Am I fair to say that?
Yeah, it's the 2018 plan, just like the 2014 plan and the 2010 plan.
The problem is, I think that's the flimsiest plan of all time for two reasons. One, again, you are counting on team after team after team to make bad financial decisions this summer. I know some of them are already locked in to tough contract situations from last summer, like the Lakers,
Portland.
Teams like that. They gave just mega money to guys who didn't deserve that much because of the weird market forces. But look, there's a lot of smart front offices in the NBA. There's a lot of front offices smarter than the Bulls front office with a better, more modern, new age approach. And you're betting on this, and that's something you don't control. Something you can't control whatsoever is really worrisome. And I know Gar keeps saying it only takes, you know, one or two teams to put that guy out there that could be a big difference maker and then flip him because you have cap space and a few commodities, or throw a pick in there too, or you need to take their dead money in US space. Like, you're not – guys that people really want to get rid of, you're not going to get that easily. You know what I mean? And I don't see enough other chips the Bulls have to do that. And the other problem with this – is this summer 2018 free agent class. And look, I haven't thought that far ahead and assess that one. You know what I mean? Summer 2017 hasn't happened. If summer 2019 is still your long-term vision, who says you're going to attract a headlining free agent? Like, this is a front office that has historically never attracted the A-list free agents they've wanted in, I mean, dating back, Pax has been here 14 years in his current position. And never the A-list guy they wanted. So that's just two huge flaws that I see in this plan, which you've already pointed out you think is murky at best in how they communicate about that plan.
Yeah, I agree entirely. You know, you look at the last couple of times that they've said, oh, well, we're going to really position ourselves to try to get the top guys in this free agent class. 2010, they were one of the teams that cleared the decks to try to go after LeBron and Bosh and Wade and all those guys. They didn't get any of them. They ended up with Carlos Boozer. 2014, they went hard after Carmelo Anthony. They had a meeting with him. They recruited him. He was their second choice. He ended up staying in New York. They ended up just signing Pau Gasol and just kind of running the same team back and getting rid of Boozer. And then, you know, last summer they got Dwayne Wade, but it was A, past his prime version of Dwayne Wade. B, he basically fell into their laps unexpectedly because Pat Riley lowballed him on his contract. If you think like it's going to suddenly be different this time, or, you know, if you want to sell, hey, well, Jimmy Butler is in his prime right now. Okay, guess what? The summer of 2019 is exactly when Jimmy Butler comes up for free agency. So you have to be going to these free agents and saying, hey, Jimmy Butler is going to commit to re-sign. That has to mean you don't alienate Jimmy Butler to want to leave by it before then. Or like it's a really flawed approach. It's like banking on that far ahead in the future.
Yeah, and I want to say this first. The Bulls, again, Gar Forman basically said in no uncertain terms last summer before free agency, it'll be a low-profile free agency, probably just the way our team is. And it wasn't.
No, it was not.
So this can all change. We could re-listen to this podcast come July 10th and be like, whoa.
Wow, Chris Paul is on the team. Chris Bosh is trying to make his comeback. He's on the Bulls now.
There are so many factors here, because if Jimmy Butler, if meeting with the front office doesn't go well, and he had his exit meeting Saturday, it wasn't significant, though they'll have a significant meeting here to determine his standing in the organization and what the organization's vision is moving forward. If he doesn't like what he hears and he says something along the lines of, I want out, or they don't like his attitude and they realize they need him to leave Chicago sooner rather than later.
Uh-huh.
Like, if that meeting goes wrong, if Rondo something for some reason doesn't want to come back, if Dwayne Wade for some reason, weird forces, and Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony and stuff like that, and he decides he wants to leave, there could be a lane that just pops up on them that they have to go down, that's something we had no idea it was coming. That is still possible. Weird things happen with the Bulls. They are completely full of it on many occasions when they say things into the microphone.
Unlike us, who you should always listen to for the inside scoop on the Bulls.
Exactly. Exactly. So we can look back, and something that we didn't see coming could hit us. But at now, everything again we hear publicly, privately, from people in Chicago, outside of Chicago, all indications are that, like, it's still just no man's land. You know what I mean? Like, Jimmy Butler's out there. May have him be the leading guy for a couple more years to come. Could flip it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just, it's always putting it down the line. And 2 years of 500 ball under Hoiberg is what the Bulls have had. But the signs of this cracking started in Tibbs last year with some of these guys. So, like, what are the same factors here in that final year of Tibbs where they kind of tuned him out and just didn't have that night-to-night intensity? Jimmy Butler's a common theme, but there's not much else, and I'm pretty sure Jimmy Butler's always bringing intensity. So at some point, you have to look at this greater culture created by the front office and the type of players they've acquired and the culture that's been set in that regard. So again, this is big picture stuff. I don't even know how to basically term and explain all of it, but I know that Bulls fans understand this by now. But again, the takeaways, big takeaways, Sean, what were they today? Rajon Rondo probably coming back. Nico Mirotic, they like him a lot. Jimmy Butler, we really respect him and think he's awesome at basketball, but we're open to everything. Hey, call us if you need us.
Fred Hoiberg will be back.
Fred's back.
The front office hierarchy isn't going to change.
Yes,
we didn't even get to that.
Point that out. We didn't get to that.
Because it's working so well right now, they see no reason to change it.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a way, too, of what Casey Johnson reported was absolutely 100% true. What Mark Stein reported, saying John Paxson may have more of a day-to-day role in both decisions and just making those calls to agents and stuff like that and other teams. Like, that could be 100% true, and Pax didn't want to acknowledge it in a press conference setting because it basically would have been going on public record saying Gar's getting a demotion. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's very conceivable that could be happening behind the scenes and they won't acknowledge it publicly. But yeah, they kind of pushed back at that. Coaching staff changes they were asked about and said they have to have meetings with Fred when he's back from wherever he's at on vacation or chilling outside of Chicago now as he left town shortly after the season ended. So we'll keep you updated again, as always, on as much as we can. Full day of Bulls news. I'm sure there will be plenty for us on the next Locked On Bulls to circle back to as well regarding this. And we will. I think we want to get into a Nico Mirotic breakdown, some of that. Some of the other restricted free agents, the Bulls certainly will put qualifying offers in for those guys just so they retain matching rights and everything. But keep it here on Locked On Bulls. Follow Sean on Twitter at Hiken, myself at Cody Westerland. Locked On Bulls is on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. It's on Facebook by its name. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. We'll certainly take more questions next time we have an episode. Always want to weave in the mailbag questions. Good stuff. And subscribe to us. Please do subscribe.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, whatever service you use to get podcasts. You can find us on there. Go on iTunes, leave us a review, preferably a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well for whatever your favorite NBA or NFL team is. Check out The Athletic to read my work. Make sure you buy a subscription there. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work, and we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.